Hurry into Mattress Firm. For a limited time, save up to $500 when you get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchases up to a $499 value. Or get up to 60% off America's top-rated brands, like Sealy Queen mattresses starting at $279.99 or Sleepies at $169.99. In stock for fast delivery, only at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, on this 12th day of June, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. The title of my message tonight are books that are relevant. Now, the Bible, going, and I'm not talking about the 66 books of the canon. I'm talking about several books that the Bible speaks of, and there's a number of them, but there are those that it goes into depth on. For example, tonight we'll be looking at the book of the law. We'll be looking at the book of wars. We'll be looking at the book of God's judgment. The book of the records, the book of the living, the book of life, book of remembrance, and the book of the seven seals. So these are all books, and they're relevant in such a way as that they all have an application to current events and things that's happening right here today, where you can apply. Well, let's get into it, and we'll find out. Let's start here with Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. When thou art come into the land which the Lord God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, as like all the nations that are about me. Well, this was speaking many years before this actually happened here. And so here, in fact, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they insisted on having a king. But you see here, that's not what God wanted. God did not want, God was their king. They didn't need a king. But he knew they were determined. They were determined to be conformed to the world, just like the so-called church is today. You've seen the church being conformed more and more to the world. You look at Rick Warren out there at Saddleback with his 11 or 14 different venues, line dancing, Hawaiian, the conforming to the world standards. In fact, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, he tells you in there that you're not going to get unsaved Harry into the church by beating him over the head with the Bible. You've got to conform the church to the world so Harry would want to come. Well, why would he want to come? He's already got all that in the world out there. And so here, God knows, you know, hundreds of years before, ahead of time, that what they're going to want. They're going to want a king like the world. Now, he told them to choose a king from among the brethren. And so here he goes on to say, "And I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set a king over thee, whom the Lord God shall choose. One from among the brethren shalt thou set a king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." Well, how does that apply to us? We folks are to vote for Christians. If you're a Christian, we are to look. And the idea is, you say, well, this man's a Christian, but this man's not. But the man that's not a Christian, well, he's got a better chance of getting elected. No, we vote for the Christian. This is, you know, there's no stuttering going on here. It's real clear. And so it goes on, and folks, when I say that, believe me, when people like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden claim to be Christians, when they embrace everything, when they embrace every single thing that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, if you, well, shame on you if you're so biblically illiterate that you don't see that these people are no more Christian than the man in the moon. So here now, here again, in this last election, you know, Donald Trump was professing Christian. And Donald Trump did win that election, folks. He did win the election. What happened, though, it was stolen. Joe Biden never won the election. He was inserted into there. Trump had many, many, many more votes than Biden. This whole thing was a scam that was set up. It was, a steal, and it was involved with the Communist Party, and the fake news media was involved in this, aiding and abetting the Antichrist world system. And that's exactly what happened. That election was stolen, and anyone and everyone, and you won't find one person out there from the news media, Brett Baer or any of this, that will come on this radio program and sit across from me and be willing to talk about that. They can't, because they know that when you had Donald Trump turning out thousands and thousands of people at his rallies, when you had 90-mile-long Trump trains, when you had all of these things, and then you got Joe Biden with 10 people listening to him, out in a parking lot somewhere, folks. I mean, you have to be really, really dense. Really dense you'd have to be extremely simple-minded to think Joe Biden won that election. But anyhow, here, the way it applies to us, he goes on, he says, "One from among the brethren thou shalt set as king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply to himself horses, and nor cause the people to return to Egypt." Well, when he's talking about the kings that had the most amount of horses, the mounted cavalry, if you will, they were the most powerful. In other words, he's telling them here, look, you don't need that big army. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. You don't need it. I'll... If you're fighting on my side, you're not going to lose. If you put your trust in me, I'll take care of you. You don't need those horses. And because what happens is, when people start getting all these horses, and they start thinking, well, it's about them. Look at me. You get this idea how powerful I am, okay? And God is telling them, you don't need those horses. And he goes on to say, but you shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. That means to be conformed to the world, conformed to the world. To the end that you should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. In other words, do not be conformed to the world. Neither shall you multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Well, again, wives, the number of wives was a sign of wealth, but also what happens, well, you see, well, for example, Solomon, who was supposed to be the smartest man in the world. Well, you know, the Lord gave him the greatest amount of knowledge, but even with that, it wasn't that he could not have more than one wife. That was allowed. What was not allowed was him to bring in all of these pagan wives, and they brought in these pagan wives, and these wives convinced Solomon to do things he should not have done. And so that's the idea here. Now here, when it says, when he's talking about, neither shall thy greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Do you notice something? When Donald Trump came to the White House, he turned down the salary. He turned down the presidential salary. And not only that, but he actually lost money. He actually lost money in his business by running, by being the president. Now, that's not the case with the Biden crime family, the Biden crime cartel. And look at Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, all of these crooked people, and I mean crooked. And Harry Truman said it this way. He said, when someone goes into politics and they get rich in office, you can bet they're a crook. That's exactly right. Even Joe Biden, I heard Joe Biden say when he was senator years ago, and I remember what he was said when somebody said, well, at least you're not a crook. And Biden laughed. He smirked. And he said, politics, when you're running for office to win as a Senate, it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to run, to win an election. He said, in order to get that money, you got to find the people with deep pockets. And when the people with the deep pockets, when they support you and you win that election, then they're going to want something in return. And that's when he smirked and he says, so don't say that I'm not a crook. He said it himself. Well, he is a crook. The whole Biden crime family are crooks. And here, what he's telling you, this is not. This is exactly, you don't want anyone who enriches himself in public office. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of the law of this book, out of the which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall... You know what, folks? I'll tell you what. It's a little bit hard, for someone to write a copy of the entire 66 books of the Bible. Well, that might take a lifetime or two to do, but he could write a book of the law. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the book of the law right here. And I would have no problem with that, to make, write him a copy of this law in a book, and out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him. In other words, not the entire book, but just a copy of what I'm reading right here now. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. That's right, folks. The whole idea, our so-called public servants, is they're supposed to be public servants. You know, we elected them, and they're supposed to be working for us. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the arrogance, do you see how the attitude towards that Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, what the attitude they have towards the voters out there? The attitude towards us. And what are they had some very bad names for us out there. Joe Biden calls us white supremacists. He calls us white supremacists. And I'm trying to remember what it was. Hillary has some names for us, which were not very pleasant names. But here, He's telling you that these people elected, they are to work for the people. He says, but his heart should not be lifted above it, his brethren. And he turned not from the commandment at the right hand or the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So in other words, he's telling you that that king is there to serve the people. And here, when we take a look at today, again, Donald Trump has many, many times talked about reading the Bible. I can't imagine Joe Biden actually reading the Bible. I mean, how could you read the Bible and look at that and all of the transgressions against God's law support every one of them? How could you say you read the Bible and when it talks about killing of children is murder and say, well, I'm for killing children? How could you read the Bible when it says that sodomy, the LGBTQ today, is an abominable and unclean thing before God, okay? And where King David instructed his men not to touch a sodomite, but to take a shield. And the shields had holes through it where you would approach the sodomites with your spear through the shield and kill them and drop them and burn their bodies where they drop. And today you've got this very, very, very corrupt society embracing what God's word, the Bible, call it an abominable, unclean thing. Abominable, unclean thing. And so how could you say, like Joe Biden says, and Nancy Pelosi, that you're a Christian, and you embrace pedophilia? Oh, when the Lord Jesus made it very clear, you'd been better off to have a millstone hung around your neck or drowned than to do these things. And yet Joe Biden does that. And then when it talks about lying, all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. How could you possibly be a Christian, do all of these things, and then go and try to convince people that you're a Christian? Boy, now, I'm going to tell you, God has told in the Old Testament there that don't even invoke my name. He told some of them, do not even invoke his name. I want to go over now to Deuteronomy 31. And in Deuteronomy 31, verses 23-29, we read this. Moses, therefore, wrote this song the same day and taught it of the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, but thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass that when Moses had made an end of this writing, the words of the law in a book, until they were finished, Moses commanded the Levites, which bear of the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the sight of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against God, the Lord. How much more, after my death, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the later days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Well, here, today, when he had the book of the law, Moses had the book of the law to bear witness against those that were rebellions. And by the way, folks, again, we're going to get to Israel here in a minute, but the Bible, it was a witness against the Antichrist New World Order today, which I just said. The Bible, right here, God's Word, is a witness. It's a witness against the Democratic Party, the entire Democratic Communist Party. It's a witness against the NBA. It's a witness against the National Baseball Association. It's a witness against Taco Bell. It's a witness against Coca-Cola. It's a witness against all the mainstream media, because all of them have rebelled against God. All of them have rebelled against God. So it's a witness against the entire New World Order. Now, we've been watching recently here the death culture, the Democratic Party, as they scream and they curse in their protests of the Supreme Court, going to their homes because they want to keep killing babies legal. They want to keep the killing, the killing and the murdering of innocent children. These are evil, wicked people. These people are on a fast track to the lake of fire. These people are hell-bent. They want to sacrifice the children, just like they did to Moloch. Now, God's Word, the Bible, again, said these people are evil people. Evil, evil. And so here now, again, they've chosen the month of June to mock God by celebrating the sin of sodomy, calling it Sodomite Pride Month. God hates a prideful heart. God hates that prideful heart. He doesn't even like a prideful look. And so here, and the sin of sodomy, he says, was an abominable thing. And what that word there means is actually the old, well, there's one of the old Jewish definitions of that is the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. Now, that's not a good thing at all. That's what God thinks of sodomy, of the LGBTQ. Now here, I'll never go back to Taco Bell again after I saw them supporting the sodomy or the NBA games. I won't drink Coca-Cola. And I'll boycott any pro-sodomite, pro-abortion, pro-sodomite corporation I can. I know I wouldn't touch that Wells Fargo, or not Wells Fargo, the one that makes the jeans. I'd have nothing to do with them, okay? Or any of these that are what they call the woke corporations. And especially the fake news media. The fake, you know, the God's Word, the Bible is very clear. All liars, all liars, all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And here now, so when Moses wrote this song, he made it very, very clear here, okay, that, well, as we look at this, we see that Joshua had been appointed to take over the leadership of Israel and guide the people into the promised land. Moses could not enter into the promised land due to his disobedience. In Numbers 20:12, Joshua first was mentioned in Exodus 7:19, had been Moses' assistant for many, many years. And so now, I want to go over. So now we just took a look at the book of the law, to copy the law. And here we just saw that you took a copy of the law and you placed it in the Ark of the Covenant. And now I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, here we're going to take a look at the foundation of Israel's religion. And we find that in verses 58 through 62. If thou will not observe to do all the words of the law that is written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make many plagues and wonderful. Now that word wonderful there means fearful, fearful plagues. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and thou shalt cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. and you should be left in a few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for the multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Well, we've seen throughout history, we've seen that fulfilled, folks. This passage of Scripture has been fulfilled to the utmost in Israel's history. Israel is still, to this very day, there are very, very rebellious people. They have one of the largest abortion rates per population, one of the world's largest abortion rates. They have one of the largest sodomite parades where it comes to promoting sodomy. They have one of the world's largest sodomite parade in Israel. Israel is still an extremely rebellious people to this day, okay? And in fact, they were one of the very top in those that mandate the kill shots, which is pharmakia. Pharmakia means wizardry or witchcraft. Now, that's what we have here in this country here with Pfizer and these companies, Big Pharma. Big Pharma is referring to, pharmakia means witchcraft, folks. And just think about this. With fentanyl and all the prescription drugs, this country kills 500,000 people. You know, you've got these people that want to disarm us. Forget about, don't even tell me about gun control. It's got nothing to do with gun control. Gun control is a good grip, a steady aim. What they want to do is they want to disarm the American people. The reason they do that, they fear us because if we're armed, because they want to take away all of our rights. They want complete control over every aspect of our life. That's the Democratic Communist Party. And that's why they want to disarm us. Now here, again, hear what he's talking about. That, and we've seen that. We've seen where he's talking about the sickness and plagues which are not written in this book. Well, how about AIDS? How about the swine flu? How about all of these things we had, especially this so-called COVID-19? All of these things that have come on, you know, not just us, but Israel, and have come on America. Why? Because there are rebellious people and they've turned their back on God. Listen, folks, the time is going to come. People are la-la landers out there. They're wandering around in a fog. They've got no idea that the one thing that is more real and more certain than anything else in existence is the Word of God. Excuse me. Now, I want to move from here and take a look at the Book of Wars. The Book of Wars. And with the Book of Wars, we go over and we start in Numbers. And in Numbers, chapter 21, we start in verse 4. And I didn't get me anything to drink here, and I think I've got over here, I have a little portable fridge here in my studio. Aha! I have some lemon water here. And I've been preaching and teaching all day, and you can only go so many miles on your voice before, you know, you start losing it. And so you got to wet your whistle. And I just did. And now I'm going to pick it up where I left off. Now here, starting with verse 4, all the way through verse 20, we read this. And here we're talking about the brass snake. And they journeyed from the Mount Tabor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, talking about manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Well, here, folks, Psalm 78, we learn that the sources of Israel's complaining, their spirits, were not steadfast with God. They refused to obey God's law. They forgot the miracles God had done for them. And so, folks, you know what? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I remember a very, very well-known radio personality some years ago. Well, it was Gary D. And Gary D., for those of you who remember him, him and I was having a conversation, and he told me, God left me. God deserted me. And I told him, no, God's right where he's always been. Gary, you were the one that walked away from God. And he was telling me how God doesn't care for him. Well, you see, look, God owes you nothing. God owes you nothing. You owe him everything. Everything, you see. And so here, God will always honor your commitment. One thing, he is the only one that you can count on, that you can completely count on, to always do what he said he will do. He's the only one, only one. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, you know, I always try that. Yeah, well, you might try that, but you're not capable. You might say, look, I'll meet you out there at a certain place, and I'll be there. You can count on me. I'll be out there at 9 o'clock. Well, guess what? On the way out there, you have a flat tire, or you get into an accident. Now, you had every intention of being there, but you didn't show. But you see, with God, it's not that way. If God says he's going to do something, he'll do it. And there's nothing, no power, there's nothing that can stop him from doing that. And so here now, the people complained. Here, they weren't thinking about what they could do for God. See, because God made us to serve him. They were thinking about what God should be doing for them. And here now, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it up on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now look, what he's showing you there, he's giving you a preview, if you will, of the cross of Christ. Now just think about yourself. And that land where he was taking them through there, there were all kinds of poisonous serpents, and they would come out from under the rocks. And he said, look, you see this pole with this brass serpent upon it? You know, you look upon there. Now, you've already been bitten. And the pain, it was a painful death to die by one of those poisonous snakes. And you've already been bitten. And there's more of them crawling all around you. And he says, look upon that. Look up. Don't look where you're going. Don't look at the snakes around you. Look up at that brass. So what does that take? That takes faith. It takes faith. So this was a show of faith. Well, this was a message. Okay? This was a type of looking at Christ upon that cross. That looking at Christ upon that cross. When he was upon that cross, in him, by his stripes, we are healed. We find eternal life. We found, just like these people, were spared and they were given life through Christ upon that cross, we're given eternal life. And so here, he goes on to say, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Jeribim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, towards the sunrise. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered, from whence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is to the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did at the Red Sea and the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, and that is well, whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang the song, spring up, O well, sing you into it. And the princes digged the well, and the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the law giver, with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Mattanah, and from Mattanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley, that is the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jessamine. And so here again, just like in America today, the people wanted God to conform to their ways. Instead of obeying God, they wanted God to give them what they wanted and not what they needed. That's exactly the way we are in America today. The brass serpent was a type of Christ, folks. The serpent was God's judgment. To look upon the brass serpent was a show of faith. And now we want to take a look at the book of God's judgment. And I'm going to have to whet my whistle one more time. In the book of God's judgment, we go all the way over to the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, we read this. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds, the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, when he's referring to the sea, he's talking about the masses, the populace of Gentile nations. He's saying they came out of the Gentile nations. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld the wings thereof and plucked, and it was lifted from the earth and made to stand upon his feet as a man, and the man's heart was given to it. Now, here, what he's talking about, the lion with eagle's wings represent Babylon with her swift conquest, and the statues of winged lions have been actually, they found enduring digs over there, recovered from Babylon's ruins. And so he goes on to say, and behold, another beast, a second, like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth, a bit between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Well, the bear who ravaged the lion is a Medo-Persia. The three ribs in its mouth represent the conquest of three major enemies. He goes on and he says here, after this I saw a night vision, behold. Well, no, I missed one here. And after this I beheld in another, like a leopard, which was upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, here the leopard is Greece. Its wings show the swiftness of Alexander the Great's campaign as he conquered much of the civilized world in 4 years. The leopard's four heads are the four divisions of the Greek Empire after Alexander's death. Then he goes on to say, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had a great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. It considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Well, the fourth beast was not a world power, which Daniel recognized. It represented Rome in the end times. Today, many Bible scholars believe that the horns correspond to the 10 kings who will reign shortly before God sets up his never-ending kingdom. These 10 kings will still not come to power at the time of John's vision recorded in the book of Revelation. The little horn is a future human ruler, or what we call the Antichrist. Here, and I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of the Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels are burning as fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, that their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a little season of time. Now, he's not speaking here. Well, first of all, he's going to be speaking about the white throne judgment. And he's talking about, too, boy, that the white throne judgment is going to be tough. It's really going to be tough, folks. And so here, And ask yourself there, too, because, you see, there's a Bema Seat judgment and the White Throne. Now, the question you have, all of you out there, are you absolutely, positively sure that you're going to be at that Bema Seat? I've preached time and time and time and time again about making your salvation sure. Folks, Jesus said, what is the profit of man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? All is lost. And I think I may be preaching a message in the near future on exactly that. The worldliness out there today, this materialism, and la-la land is people that are totally have their priorities so wrong. And when you think about it here, look, old George Soros is about to go to hell. All of his money, this man has been wicked, and I don't think he's got it left in him that he can repent. He has been wicked, wicked, and evil. And he's shriveling up, and he's, you know, I can see that the flames of hell licking his feet now. He's a wicked man, along with some others out there. Caused so much trouble, caused so many people, to the deaths of so many people with his wickedness here. And there's a white throne judgment. And folks, and I don't know how this wicked man could ever escape that. So you've got that world economic order, the new world order. Now, it'll be destroyed, and the 10 nations will be destroyed right with it shortly after. Now, when it comes to the Antichrist, he's not talking about annihilation. Let me read that. And I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, which is the Antichrist. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given into the burning flame. Well, does it? We're not talking about annihilation. We're talking about the form that he was in. He will no longer have that power. Satan will no longer, the Antichrist will not have that power any longer. He's going to be reduced. He'll be taken and he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. And so, see, people and angels and angelic beings don't go out of existence. We just changed real estate, but we never go out of existence there at all. And so, here, as we see, he goes on to say, I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed. Now, let's go to, I want to go over to the book of records, the book of records. And we go over to the book of records. And, you know, as I preach this today, a lot of people say, I never heard of all of that. I never heard of all these different books. Well, it's been right here in the Bible all this time. And we're going to pick it up where we left off in Ezra chapter 4, starting with verse 6. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him in accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishalom. And boy, I'm going to tell you, there's some names to get through here too, folks. Mithridath, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Danites, and Afarsachites, and the Tarpalites, and the Afarsites, and the Arkavites, the Babylonians, the Susanites, and the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Anaspar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on the side of the river. And at such a time, the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even to Artaxerxes, the king, and thy servants on the man's side in the river in such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us were come from Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king of that city be builded, the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, or custom. And so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it is not meet that for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king that search may be made in the book of the records of the fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that the city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto the kings and provinces. And they have moved sedition within the same of the old time. For which cause was the city destroyed? We certify that the king, that if the city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Then sent the king an answer to Rehum, the chancellor, and to Shimshai, the scribe, to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and to the rest beyond the river. Peace is such a time. The letter which is sent unto us hath plainly been read before us, and I commanded the search that hath been made and founded in the city of the old time, and hath made instruments against the kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also in Jerusalem, which have ruled over all the county countries beyond the river, and the toll and tribute and custom was put unto them. Give you now a commandment to cause these men to cease, that the city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given for me. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? And now when the copy of the king of Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up to the haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, so it ceased into the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, here Artaxerxes said that Jerusalem was associated with insurrection, rebellion, and sedition. By reading the historical records, he learned that mighty kings had come from Jerusalem, and he may have feared that there'd be another rise if they were. Now, remember, rebuilt Solomon had ruled a huge empire. You had, so what is he talking about? You had these mighty kings. You had David, King David, and you had Solomon, who built a mighty, mighty empire. And so here, these heathen kings, Gentile kings, said, no, we're going to stop that. And they stopped the building of the wall until here, the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And so here, and now I want you to think about what I just read here. What happened? They wanted it stopped. And what was the charge here? Sedition. Folks, exactly. This is exactly the type of thing that January 6th was all about. Trump was pro-God, pro-American, pro-family, pro-free market, pro-police, pro-life, all of which the Antichrist, Democratic, and Communist Party is totally against. All of these things, they're totally against. Now, here, this is why they had to stop him. Here's a guy that, well, if you just look what he did when he was president. Now, look, Trump is not perfect by any means. And what would happen is, if it wasn't Trump, any president that they would do this to, that they would treat the way they treated that man, and because of what he stood for. Again, he stood for the things that we're talking about, being pro-God, pro-American, pro-life more than anything. Okay, now, he wasn't perfect. He should have left those kill shots far away. Now, Trump is, he wanted to make America great by making America good again. He was for a free enterprise and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He came right out, and in fact, I've got one here, one of his greatest speeches that he ever made, okay? Now, the Democrats are the party of control, folks, of the masses. They want to control your every aspect of your lives. First of all, they don't want gun control. They want to disarm you. They want to disarm you. They fear you because they look upon you as parasites in the back of Mother Gaia. They look upon the earth as belonging to them. Now, God's word, the Bible is pretty clear. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God, and we are the heirs of the Lord. But the Democratic Communist Party elite, the collective, believe that the earth should belong to them. and that we are simply parasites. And this is why they want to depopulate the planet. And it's very hard for a lot of people to wrap their mind around that there are people that are so evil as they want to eliminate literally billions of people. But they're out there. They're as evil as evil is. Okay. Now, I want to go over to the Book of the Living. The Book of the Living. And I'm going to go, and it's just Psalm 69, verse 28, one verse here. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous, with righteousness. Remember what King David said, blot me not out of the book of the living. Okay. Here, those that are unsaved, especially those that are the billionaires, those that are filthy rich, they have delusions of eternal life through technology, which they think that they've got the money, they can buy this. And here, They're looking at, the term is called chirogenics. And that someday they could be quick frozen and someday thawed out. Well, they'll be thawed out, but when they get thawed out, they'll be thawed out in that lake of fire. And they'll be in for an extremely rude awakening. Okay. This here, when he's talking about the book of the living, folks, no one lives. You don't live for an instant. You don't live for a minute. When your name is written out of that book of life, and that's going to happen to all of us, when our name is removed from the book of life, and that's God's call and God's call alone. Well, it looks like I'm running out of time, and don't look like I'm going to be able to finish this whole study tonight. But again, the book of life, and I'm going to go to the book of life real fast because it actually ties in with, we're out of time for tonight, but here, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead and the small and the great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake, that is, lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, you got to make sure that your name is found written in that Lamb's book of life. And here, on that name, those names are those that put their trust in Christ to save them. Their names are written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. And so, you got to make sure that you're there. And we're out of time, but I was going to go to the book of remembrance and the book of remembrance. God remembers those that were faithful and obedient to him, and those that weren't, were not. And so, again, like Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? George Soros is about to find out all of his billions are going to be gone. And what's going to happen? His life, for all of eternity, he's going to regret what he did. And not just him, but all of those out there that mock God. God doesn't stutter, folks. God always does what God says he'll do. He's got a 100% perfect record. So we're out of time for tonight. So we come to this time every night. So this is when I say, good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting that fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right? What's left? hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.